Hey, this is Greg Little from Bethany Baptist Church. I'm so thankful that you decided to join us on this podcast. I trust that the Lord will use it in your life to encourage you, strengthen you, and challenge you wherever you are in your walk with Him. For more information about Bethany, you can visit us online at bethanybc.ca. And now let's open our hearts and minds to what the Lord has for us. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter number 9. We're going to start reading when you found it in verse number 32 and finish out this chapter this morning. So we're in Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 32, reading down to verse number 43. So let's read it together and then we'll look into it this morning. Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 32. And it came to pass, as Peter passed through all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lift her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. We'll stop there. We'll pick up there next week. We'll find him at Joppa with Simon the tanner. But, I've had a couple of different experiences over the last few months that I have never had before, and they are some different jobs, some different roles, some different hats that I've had to put on over the last couple of months, probably more out of necessity than anything else, not necessarily because it was my first option, but because it was needed. And so many of you know that over the past 3.5 to 4 months, I'm done now, but I did some teaching down at the Christian school in Penfield. And I taught math to middle school students. That's about the top of my level. Anything more than that, and I have to tap out. But I was able to teach to the middle school students. I had a good time. I was there for a number of months, and I taught them math. And then over the last couple of weeks, I spent a couple more weeks there teaching Bible, which is a little easier to me than teaching math class and Christian studies. But I also did some music class and gym class, which I was not as good at as the other ones. But I taught there for a little while, and I had a lot of fun. And so I've added teacher to my resume. I'm not making a resume, just so you know, because I know you'll be like, he's making a resume, he's going somewhere else. I'm not. But I added teacher to it in case, I don't think anyone would ever look at that and be like, oh, he's a teacher. Okay, it was just a couple of months, but I added that. Anyways, and then recently I've added a volleyball coach to my resume. That's one that I never thought that I'd be doing either. But now I'm coaching the girls' volleyball team at the Christian school and having fun with that as well and learning a whole bunch of stuff. I've coached boys' baseball before. I know that a lot better than I know coaching girls' volleyball. So it's been kind of a learning process. And I've learned something. I say all that to say this. I've learned something over the past couple of months. This is what I've learned. You ready? Number one, I am not a teacher. And number two, I'm not a volleyball coach. I'm learning to be those things But I didn't start off. There was kind of a learning curve that I had to go on to do both of those things. And so I've never done them before. So there's this process that's happening where now I'm in this role. Now I'm a teacher. Now I'm a coach. And I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to be who I'm supposed to be, right? I'm trying to live out who I am. I'm a teacher and I'm trying to learn to be the best teacher I can be. I'm a coach. So I'm trying to be the best coach that I can be. I'm trying to learn. So, for example, our girls had their first game this last week, their first volleyball game, and it was in Crispam Sis. We were there, and I've played volleyball, and I've coached other sports before, but when we got out on the court, and it was our turn to warm up, my mind went totally blank of what I was supposed to be doing. And the girls were like, we're supposed to do this and that. And I was like, oh yeah, that's right. Okay, I can coach this. I know what I'm doing. I had to get in there and learn some of those things. And so I'm trying to coach well. I tried to teach well. But it's a learning process. And there's some other guys here this morning that could probably say, hey, I'm in the same learning process. They've been there longer than me and they're doing better than me. But they're in the same learning process. And anytime you learn something new, it's a whole process. That you're this person now, and there's this whole process that you have to live out who you are and be what you're called to be. And it's not always an easy process. Sometimes it's messy. Sometimes you have to make mistakes. You have to learn things along the way. And we keep working at it until we get to be where we want to be. All right, everyone still with me this morning? All right, so we're working on this process. You've been there. You know what it's like. I know what it's like. Now, these last few months, as we've worked our way through the book of Acts, and specifically from the beginning of chapter 5 all the way to where we are now in chapter number 9, these chapters have really focused on individual stories, right? It's been one person at a time. We've seen people throughout these last 4 or 5 chapters, and the Bible kind of zooms out. It was on the masses coming to Christ, and now it's zoomed in these chapters on these individuals that make up these different stories. So we have seen Ananias and Sapphira and Stephen and Barnabas and Simon the sorcerer and Philip the evangelist and the Ethiopian eunuch and Saul for a little bit. All of these. And I think all of these stories are highlighting the same theme. They're different stories, but each and every one of them, as we've looked at them, are all highlighting the transformative power of the gospel in these people's lives. Right? These are all individuals who, in their own way, were broken and weak and hurting people, and God took them from the direction they were going. Maybe none more astounding than Saul, right? That God took him the direction he was going and literally turned him around, and the gospel changed his life completely. And now he's going in the opposite direction. And really, I love what Luke is doing here. He's zooming in and he's highlighting he's documenting the change that the gospel has brought in the lives of these people. And they're just completely different people. And the gospel's turned them upside down and changed them and totally transformed them. And he's going to keep doing that this morning as we bring chapter 9 to a close. It's almost like there's all of these stories that he could talk about. And he grabs a couple of them. And he gives examples again of the gospel's work in a few people's lives that we just read through there in chapter number 9. And we're kind of bringing this section to a close, and we're entering into a new section in chapter number 10, a new direction. And this is what I want to do this morning. As we make our way through these last few verses of chapter 9, I want to give you a message this morning that's super practical, that I hope will be very helpful. I hope it's as helpful to you this morning as it was to me this week as I studied through this passage. And what I mean by that is this. We've looked at a lot of truths over the last number of weeks. How to live out our identity in Jesus Christ, what it looks like to be a Christian, what God is calling us to. There's all these different truths that we've really highlighted. And I've tried to make this whole series a practical series as we make our way through Acts, that really we're learning and growing in practice as we make our way through it, and what God is calling us to. But I think the question is this, and I think we often have this question. We know all these truths, and our question is, well, how do I then live out, how do I actually live out what I know is true and what I believe to be true? How do I actually live that out in my life? What does that look like to live out the gospel? Right, let me say it this way. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are made a new creation. Right? You are made new. You have been, we read in Romans 8, we'll look at it again in a little bit, but you've been adopted into the family of God. And from that day forward, from the day you trusted Christ as your Savior, through the rest of your life, you're in this process of growth, right? Some call it sanctification. Some call it Christian growth. You can call it whatever you want, but from the day you're saved till the day that you meet Jesus face to face, this is the process that's taking place in you. You're growing. You're becoming more like Jesus. You're being made in the image of Christ. You are living out, you're in the process of becoming who you are meant to be. So this is who I am in Christ, and every day I'm living out, I'm learning, I'm growing in that process of becoming who I am in Jesus Christ. You're not there yet. I hate to break that to you this morning. I'm not there yet. But hopefully we're moving in that direction. Hopefully we're growing and learning in this process, right? Just like I have been learning to be a teacher, just like I've been learning to be a volleyball coach, I'm in this process, and in my Christian life, I'm in this process, and so are you, every day, of becoming more like Jesus. We're not there yet, but we're on our way, and the question is this, how do I actually do that? Right? I've had that question, I'm sure you have too. How do I live out the Christian life? How do I take what I've learned and actually apply it to my life? Have you ever said this? I know it in my head. I know it's true. And I believe it in my heart. But I still struggle to live it out. I know what's right. I believe what's right. But I still struggle sometimes to actually live that out. Does anyone else identify with that? Maybe it's just me this morning. Okay. I think all of us identify with that to some extent. I know what's true. I believe it's true. But I struggle to actually live out what's true sometimes. And there are times that I'm struggling. And there are times in my Christian life that I feel like a failure. And that I've messed up. So what do I do? How do I engage in this process that's going to take the rest of my life? How do I actually live out what I believe and know to be true? And by the way, it is going to take you the rest of your life. This is a process that Christ has started in you that's going to take the rest of your life. There's no getting out. It's a process. How many of you watched, was it this week? Maybe it was last week, the launch of Artemis 2. Did anyone watch that? Some of you watched it. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I watched, I saw a video of a plane that was flying by, and you could see the rocket come up through the clouds. And they were like, that's so cool, watching it. So we've watched it, kind of followed these astronauts as they've gone out and gone beyond the moon, around the moon, and back again. I think they touched down. Was it yesterday? Maybe a couple of days ago, they landed off the coast of California. And Amanda and I were talking about that this week, and she was saying, you know, there's no way that I would ever do that. There's no way I would get on that plane and go up into space. And not that we ever could, not that that would ever be an option, but she's like, I just can't do it. And if it were even a possibility, I couldn't do it. There's so much that could go wrong. And I was saying, you know, it's crazy. Because if you know me, what's one thing I hate? Does anyone know? I hate heights. I hate flying. I've probably said that over and over again. But if I had the opportunity to go to space, I would probably take it. I would probably be scared and cry the whole way up and the whole way down. But I would do it because it's like, this is my one chance. This is my one opportunity. But I was just thinking about them going up. And I can you imagine the astronauts going up and they're in space and they're out of Earth's orbit and they're heading towards the moon. And imagine one of them saying, you know, I don't really think this was a good idea. I don't want to go through with this. I want out. I want to quit. Like, I never really thought about how far we're going and the re-entry, and I'm kind of scared of that. So, guys, thanks for bringing me along, but I'm out. I quit. Right? That's an impossibility, right? What are they going to do? Where are they going to go? Once they're buckled in and the engines roar and that ship begins to go, they're in it for the long haul. Right? There's no getting out. There's no turning back. And that's kind of the thought with our Christian journey. Once God begins that work in us, once we're saved, we're in this process now for the long haul. He's going to continue doing that work. There's no getting out. There's no turning back. There's this process now that we're all in for the rest of our lives to become more like Jesus. And we're all in that process together. And so the question is, how do I do that? If I'm in this process, how do I live it out? So I want to just give you some, hopefully some helpful things this morning that will be practical to you. So just two things with a few sub-thoughts underneath, but two things. First of all, this is what you need to do. First of all, you need to preach the gospel every day to yourself. How do I actually live out the gospel? I need to preach it to myself every single day. Preaching the gospel to myself. This is an internal conversation that you have to have with yourself every day of your life. That you're continually, you say, well, what do you mean by preaching the gospel to yourself? Here's what I mean. A lot of people think of the gospel and they think of it in terms of an entryway to salvation. Right? So the gospel is what gets me saved. The gospel is the entryway into salvation. So the gospel is for salvation, but then I go back to trying to do the right things. Then I kind of go back to works. A lot of people trust in the gospel, but then they leave it there. That's the end of it. The gospel is for salvation. Then I go back to works, right? I'm saved by grace through faith, but now that I'm saved, I need to go back to trying to please God by my works. And I'm still trying to earn his behavior. And for so many of us, so often we have this performance-based behavior that I need to do the right things. The problem with that, though, is when you mess up, when you don't do the right things, and then your theology falls apart because then I haven't earned God's favor. And then I'm not good enough. And now God's mad at me. We need to realize that the gospel is just the beginning. But we need the gospel every day of our Christian lives. We are called to good works, yes, but good works are always driven by grace. Good works are always driven by the love that Christ has for us and the love that we have for Jesus. And so we see this here in this passage in Acts chapter 9. In verse 32, it says, and it came to pass, excuse me, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. So Luke is turning his attention. He's been on Saul for the last couple of chapters, and now he's turning his attention back to Peter for a little bit because Peter's really going to play a big role in chapter number 10, and we'll see that next week. Now, just remember for a minute where Peter came from. What kind of person was Peter? I mean, before Acts. You think about Peter, and Peter was an impetuous, fearful, foot-in-your-mouth kind of guy. He denied Jesus, hiding. I'm going back fishing kind of guy. That's who Peter was before the resurrection. And now here he is a few years later, and we've already looked at Peter a bunch, and so I won't belabor the point, but Peter is a totally changed person. He is completely different now than he was a few weeks ago, a few months ago. He's been totally transformed. How? I think it's because Peter learned to preach the gospel to himself. Because if he doesn't preach the gospel to himself, Peter could let his past haunt him. Right? The denial, the leaving, the hiding. He's not thinking about his failures or his mistakes or his past. He's saying, I'm walking forward in who Jesus says I am. I'm walking forward in who I actually am in Christ. This is the point. If Peter's not preaching the gospel to himself on a daily basis and saying, this is who I am in Christ, and this is what Jesus has done for me, and this is what he's doing in me and through me. If he's not doing that on a regular basis, then Peter's going to get caught up in his failures and his mistakes and his past and all of those things and his inabilities. Listen, I think sometimes we tend to think of Peter as this superhero Christian. But the reality is Peter is just as normal and ordinary and broken and messy as any one of us are this morning. He's no different than us. And God often takes the most base and the most broken people and changes them and uses them for his glory. So Peter comes down to Lydda, and it says in verse 33, there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. Notice what it says in verse 35, as Peter comes down and he finds Aeneas and heals him, and he gets up and he rises. It says in verse 35, and all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. You know, I was thinking as I was going over this passage this week, why does Luke include this story in Acts 9? Right? Because there's so many stories he probably could have chosen from. There's a lot of miracles taking place, a lot of healings, all of these. Why Aeneas? Why this story of anything that he could put in there? Why does he put it in there? And I think he does it because as Peter becomes who Peter's supposed to be, right, as he becomes who he's meant to be, God is validating his message through these miracles, through these works that he's doing. And people see that Peter's becoming who Peter's supposed to be, and people see that Jesus is who he says he is. There are people that saw his life and his testimony, and they heard his words. And it said in verse 35, as they see Peter living out the gospel, as they see Peter doing these things, and his testimony, and his words, and his preaching, that they turn to Christ. Right? God's validating his message. He's validating Peter through these things, and God, as he preaches, God uses him. Listen, when we preach the gospel to ourselves, it reminds us of who we are in Jesus and reminds us of why we are here on this earth. Peter had all sorts of reasons to give up, but he preached the gospel to himself, and God uses him to reach multitudes of people. Now again, you might be a little unclear this morning what it means to preach the gospel to yourself. And so I want to give you some practical ways to do that, some themes that you can preach to yourself. I just have three, but there's a lot more that you can preach. And these themes can be an internal monologue that you do every day, or you can speak it out. It can be external. You can say it to yourself. I remember when we were homeschooling our children that I wasn't always in the room with them or the rooms where they were homeschooling, but I knew that every morning they had a saying that they would say aloud. Guys, do you still remember what it is? You could probably quote, I'm not going to get you to quote it, don't worry, but you probably remember what it is. They had a statement that they said every single morning as they got in and started school. And I don't remember all of it. I wrote down kind of what I remember, and I might have got it wrong just a little bit. But I wrote down, because I wasn't always there in the morning, but I knew they said this every day. They started together saying this: I am a child of God, a gift to my parents and my community. I am a person of great value because God made me. Is that right? Is that similar? Okay, I'm close. All right. Every day they would affirm something like that to themselves. I have great value because God made me. This is who I am. You know what they were doing? They didn't know that, but they were preaching the gospel to themselves. This is who God made me. They went on to say, again, I can do everything. I forget it all. I'm sorry. I tried to. You can ask Amanda after. She'll tell you what it is. God has made me able to do everything that is required of me. So every day they were repeating these thoughts to themselves. They didn't know it, but every day they were preaching the gospel to themselves. This is who I am in Christ. This is what Christ is doing in me. This is who I am. And so there's these three themes that I want to give you this morning that you can preach to yourself every single day to remind yourself of who you are in Christ. First of all, is this, and very similar to their point, it is this: I am made in the image of God. God made me in His image. It says in Colossians 3 that I have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Listen, when you were saved, you were put into this process where every day God is making you more into the image of Christ. And you need to preach that to yourself. That you might say, wait a minute, I know that I've failed. I know that I've messed up, but I am created in God's image, and God is growing me and teaching me, and I'm in this process, and I know today it might not look like it, and I might have taken a step backwards, but God is molding me. He's changing me more and more into the image of His Son. God's not done with me. He's still working on me, right? God's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Do you remember singing that song in Sunday school class? He's not done with me yet. He's still working in me. I'm not perfect. There's just process. He's conforming me into the image of His Son. I am made in His image. I am becoming like Him. You need to preach that to yourself every day. This is who I am in Christ. Secondly, I've been adopted. We read that in Romans chapter 8, verse number 14 through 17. I've been adopted into the family of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We've been adopted into His family. Abba, Father. Abba is actually even a more endearing term than father. It's really the idea of daddy, right? It's that personal, intimate relationship. You know, a child could be having their worst day at school and everything could be going wrong, and everyone, you know, everything's messing up. They're having a hard day, but they run home into the arms of their daddy and everything is forgotten. Why? Because there's peace there. There's security there. There's a relationship there where they forget all of those things. Listen, when your conscience or your heart condemns you and says you might as well give up, You're not who Jesus says you are. You're not living out what you're supposed to live out. You're not living up to what you're supposed to be living up. You've messed up again. You've done wrong. You preach the gospel to yourself and say, I'm made in the image of God and I belong to God. I am in His family. God is my Father. I may be broken, but I am right where I'm supposed to be. Right? God, I've been adopted into the family of God. So I'm made in the image of God. I've been adopted into the family of God. And thirdly, I've been called by God. I have a calling. I have a calling. And Peter in Acts chapter 9 and 10 is living out his calling. Paul says this to the Philippians, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." Do you know what he says next? "Forgetting the things that are behind." Did anyone have a worse reason than Paul to condemn themselves for their past? I would say probably not. Paul had all sorts of things in his past. He had messed up. He had killed Christians. He had lived in total rebellion and disobedience to God. But he says, "No, I have a new calling. I'm forgetting those things which are in the past, and I'm reaching forward. I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I have a new calling. I'm forgetting those things, and I'm moving forward. And so every day, you need to preach the gospel to yourself. I am made in the image of God. I belong to God. I've been called by God, so I can go out and do every single thing that he's called me to do. And that leads me to the second point. I need to hurry up because I haven't given myself a lot of time. But the second point is this. Not only do you have to preach the gospel to yourself every day, you have to live out the gospel every day. You know, I always go to a youth retreat and hear preaching from other people, and I get more excited to come back and preach. So that's what's happening here this morning. I'm just excited to come back. So I might go a little bit long this morning. I apologize for that. But here's the second thought. Okay, you preach the gospel to yourself. Secondly, you need to live out the gospel every day. And this is really where it goes from that internal conversation to practice, to actual practice. Look at verse 36. "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did." Tabitha, again, this is one of those other random individuals that we don't really know a whole lot about in the Bible, other than these few verses. We know this, that she was full of good works and alms deeds, generosity. She lived that out. The point is this, Tabitha, we don't know much about her, but we know she was a person that lived out the gospel day after day. She was a lady that wasn't gifted with miracles. She wasn't gifted with teaching. She was gifted with doing good works, full of alms deeds, doing charitable things. We find out later in this passage, we read it, so you already know it, but we find out later that she makes coats. She's able to sew. She's able to do those physical knits. She can do all of those things to bless people around her. She's living out her faith. She can't do the same things as Peter, but she's using the gifting that God gave her to bless other people. She uses what she has. She uses what she knows to be a blessing. She's not famous. She's not prominent. But I think we can take from those verses, you might agree with me, that she is influential. She has an influence. Why? Because she's living out her faith. She could have said, "Well, who am I? What can I do? I can't do very much. I can't make a difference. I'm not an apostle. I'm not a leader. I'm not gifted in those ways." She could have said that, but she didn't. She gave herself. She took what was going on internally, and she lived it out externally, and she used that to bless other people in her life. Can I say this to you this morning? If you are going to live out the gospel, listen, you may not have all the same gifts as somebody else. You may not be talented in the same way as some other people. You may not have the same abilities. God may not have given you the same skills as somebody else in this church. But if you are going to live out the gospel, you need to take the skills and the gifts and the talents that God has given you and live them out daily to bless other people. Listen, you can't just attend church an hour or two a week and think that you are going to live that way. It's not enough. You need to live out the gospel every day. That's where growth comes. That's how this process happens. There are some things in your life that you have to push past in order to live out the gospel. I'm going to give you just a really quick list, and we're going to go through it really quickly. Well, there's some things that we need to There's some things that we need to push past. If we're ever going to live out the gospel, if we're ever going to do this on a daily basis, there's some things that we have to get over. First of all is apathy. There are so many apathetic Christians. Apathetic means I don't care. You know, I couldn't be bothered. I have more important things in my life to do. And they just don't really care for the things of the gospel. You have to push past that. You have to push past lethargy. Meaning, I might care, but I don't want to do anything about it. I want to do as little as possible. That maybe I see the need, maybe I see what I need to do, but I just don't really want to do it. You have to push past that if you want to live out the gospel. How about arrogance? A lot of people think, well, you know what? At least I'm not doing as bad as that person, right? I'm doing better than that person. Well, I'm doing okay. Maybe I don't really care about anyone else. Look at how good I'm doing. You know, the reality is there's someone maybe even sitting right next to you that needs you to live out the gospel. They need you. So we need to push past that arrogance. We need to push past narcissism. This is the mentality of our culture, of our day and age. It's all about me. It's all about what I want. What can I buy? What can I enjoy? What can I get out of this? I come to church and what can I get? What's in it for me? It's all about me. And we need to be able to push past that if we're going to live out the gospel. What about frivolity? Frivolously spending my life doing things that I enjoy and spending more time doing those things than anything else. Things that I enjoy, but things that aren't really valuable. Things that don't really make a difference in the end. Now, there's nothing wrong with enjoying things in life. I think God gives us things in life to enjoy. You know that I enjoy golf. There's not a whole lot of eternal value in golf. I understand that, okay? Unless I use it as a discipleship time, right? I'm going out to disciple someone on the golf course. You can see right past that. But anyways, God gives us things to enjoy for rest, for enjoyment. But if our whole life is about things that we enjoy that have no eternal value, then we're missing out on making a difference. We're missing out on living the gospel out. There's things to enjoy, but that's not the end goal. We need to intentionally invest in purposeful, eternal things. What about business? Boy, this is a big one for us, isn't it? I'm too busy. I have too much going on. I can't because my schedule is full, and we get so busy doing all of these things that we can't live out the gospel because we're so busy with those things. What about spectatorship? You know, sitting back and watching everybody else and letting other people do the work. I come, but I know other people are going to do it and other people are involved, so I don't have to. I'm just going to watch. Christianity, I've said this before, but Christianity is not a spectator sport. Everybody gets involved. We need to push past that. False humility. I hear this sometimes. Who am I? You know, I have nothing to contribute. I don't have any talents. I don't have any gifts. Frank, can I say to you, that is not true. I heard one preacher say one time, God doesn't make garbage. God gives all of us gifts. He gives all of us skills. He's given all of us talents. We all have abilities. We need to push past that. What about, lastly, fear? I'm terrified. I'm too scared. Well, guess what? Join the club. We're all scared. We're all afraid. You know, the reality is this, that someone's life is more valuable than your fear. Anyone who has ever done anything for Christ had to push past that fear. You know, I was thinking, what about Peter? Peter, what if Tabitha didn't raise from the dead? He goes down and says, Tabitha, rise, and nothing happens. Maybe that fear is in the back of Peter's mind. How awkward would that be? Tabitha didn't know how to raise the dead. She wasn't a preacher. She made coats, so that's what she did. Whatever your thing is, do that thing for the sake of the gospel. And there's all of these things that we need to be able, if you're ever going to make a difference, if you're ever going to live out your Christian life and your faith and be who God wants you to be, then you have to push past these things. That I'm going to let those things go, and I'm going to go and I'm going to serve the Lord, and I'm going to live this out day by day. Listen, all of those things up there will keep you from fulfilling God's purpose in your life. And honestly, can I say this? This is where most Christians sit. Maybe not all of them, but in some of those places. But when you push past those things and you live out the gospel day by day, that's when you start to make a difference. That's when you begin to be confident in who you are and doing what he's called you to do. How do I live out what I know to be true? How do I live out what I believe to be true? I preach the gospel to myself. I remind myself of who I am and who I belong to and what I've been called to. And day after day, I push past all those things that would keep me from doing that. And I just walk forward with the gifts and abilities and talents and skills that God has given me. I realize this, that the Christian life is not about me. Peter understood that. Tabitha understood that. They took simply what they had in Christ and they lived it out day by day. And that's what you see throughout all the New Testament early church. They're just living it out. We can't leave it there, right? Because Tabitha has died. In verse 38, they send for Peter. Why did they send for Peter? I wonder if they just wanted him to come down and do the funeral. Or maybe they just wanted to come and encourage people and help them as they're grieving. Maybe they thought that he could raise her from the dead. I don't know, but they send for him. And he comes down and he raises her from the dead. And I just want you to see here in verse 42, it says, "And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the gospel." It was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. That's the purpose of these things. As Peter does what Jesus gave him to do, as he preaches the gospel to himself, as he lives out the gospel daily, many believed in the Lord and came to him. Peter's doing exactly what God gave him to do. And at the same time, Tabitha's doing exactly what God gave her to do. He's preaching. She's making coats. By the way, they were both just as valuable to the Lord. They were both doing what God gave them to do. God used them both. And all of it results in other people believing and coming to Jesus. And I want you to just take away this thought this morning. We'll be finished. But I want you to take away this thought. I can only be who Jesus made me to be, and I can only do what Jesus has enabled me to do. But by the grace of God, I'm going to do it. You can only be who God made you to be. You can't have skill sets that God hasn't given you. You can't have abilities and talents that God hasn't given you. But you can be exactly who God called you to be. And you have talents and you have abilities. And God has given you something. And God's enabled you to do things. And so you just need to live that out and say, by God's grace, I'm going to do that. By God's grace, I'm going to be who he's called me to be. By God's grace, I'm going to do what he's called me to do. Whether that's preaching or sowing, or gardening, or fishing, or working a job, or staying home with my children. There's a lot more I didn't cover. But all of those things, whatever it is, wherever God has you, as I work and as I preach the gospel to myself and live it out day by day, then God's going to work. And he reminds me of who I am, and he reminds me of who he is, and he validates his message. And people see that and turn to him. So let me encourage you this morning, be who you are in Christ. Do what he's called you to do. Live this out day by day and see what he can do in your life.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. My prayer is that God would use the preaching of his word in your life in a special way. If there's any way that we can be a help to you, please feel free to reach out at bibcinfo@gmail.com. Or if you're in the area, you're always welcome to come join us in worshiping the Lord together every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and Wednesday at 6:30. May the Lord bless you today.